Volcano Watch.
This is a weekly podcast to update you on the volcanic activity of the week. I'm one of your hosts, Corinne Jorgensen.
And I'm your other host, Alessandro Musu. We are PhD students at the University of Geneva.
We study volcanoes, and we're here to give you all the hot volcano news.
First, a quick update on some of the week's volcanic activity, and then the focus of the week. It's May 24th at the time of recording, and here are the quick updates.
Let's get to it!
So, in America, as usual, several harsh advisories from Sengay, Fuego, Sabancaya, Reventador, Nevado de Silén, Popocatépetl, and Nevado de Ruz. So, Corinne, do you want to guess who was the winner for the highest plume this week?
Sabancaya. It's gotta be Sabancaya. Sabancaya wins every week!
Yeah, you are right. Sabancaya again with 8.2 kilometer plume. Sengay was almost there with a 7.6 kilometer high plume. Oh. Sorry for him.
Well, it's okay. Sengay, which is in Ecuador, has also had increased activity this week. There was a lava fountain, which reached a height between 500 meters and 1 kilometer.
Oh, I didn't know that. Good job, Sengay. That is totally comparable with Mama Etna. Still a bit sad that you didn't win the highest plume competition with Sabancaya. You were so close, didn't we?
Oh, man. On May 19th, the volcano alert level rose to yellow in the Aleutian Island, which is in Alaska, after some small explosions occurred at Semispochnoy. Activity also continued in the following days, with periodic low-level eruptions generating about 3 kilometer high plumes.
The effusive eruption starting in the 29th of April at Pacaya in Guatemala from an eruptive fissure on the northwest flank stopped definitely on May 19th, ceasing to feed the lava flow that is anyway continuing to slow advance to the base of the edifice.
Okay, so now let's move to Europe. So Mama Etna has started her activity again on May 19th.
Yes!
Where we saw a short-lived strong paroxysm occurring. And we don't actually know if she did it to celebrate her birthday or not. Alessandra also thinks maybe it was to say goodbye to Franco Battiato. How do I say that?
Franco Battiato?
Franco Battiato, yep. A Sicilian singer who sadly passed away on the May 18th. But what we know is that the activity has continued with two other paroxysms, one between the 20th and the 21st in the evening, and one on the night between the 22nd and the 23rd.
Hi, morning time editing, Corinne here. So approximately 20 minutes after Alessandra and I stopped recording, Mama Etna started another fountaining episode. Super cool, was really great. Who needs bedtime stories when you can watch lava fountains to help lull you to sleep?
These three eruptions are occurring about every 48 hours between each other. And so we're wondering, is this the beginning of a new cyclical series? We don't know. We will be watching. Thank you, Mama Etna.
Yeah. So effusive activity also continues at Fagradalsfjall, mostly from the fifth vent. And lava flows started to overflow into the adjacent Natagi Valley.
Okay. So usually we don't talk about Stromboli. Stromboli is one of these volcanoes which is really beautiful, but really active. It erupts about every 15 minutes. And there's lots of other volcanoes in the world who are kind of like this too, where they are active, they're always doing things, but they're not changing what they're doing. So we normally don't talk about it. It doesn't make the news for us. However, we were thinking about one day creating a new segment called Volcanoes You Can Visit. Anyways, this is an aside. Stromboli this week we're going to talk about because it did something a little bit more different. So this week, we, as Alessandra said, we're going to talk about the little sibling of Mama Etna. So on the May 19th, there was a collapse of the rim on the northeastern crater of Stromboli, producing a landslide and pyroclastic flow traveling down the slope and reaching the coast, followed by an overflow of lava. So it did this, but then the next day, Mama Etna showed up its little sibling. So This is just the way of siblings, I suppose.
So let's move to Asia now. We have some ash advisory from Ebeko, Sinabung, Simero, Dukono, Manam, Suanozojima, and Leutoolo.
Okay, so we also had explosive activity continuing at Sinabung, where we had a very strong 11-minute long eruption on May 19th in the morning, which generated a 16-kilometer high plume.
The volcano activity of Taal in the Philippines remains unchanged. We have seismic activity and intense gas emission. On the 22 of May, a gas steam plume rose up of about 1.5 kilometers from the crater lake. Magma is potentially accumulating underneath the surface, and an eruption might occur at any time there. So we will keep our eyes peeled on it.
We've said that for the last 3 months. sporadic Strombolian activity continues at Lewotolo in Indonesia, with the production of small ash plumes about 600 meters high. There are warnings that pyroclastic flows, lahars, and bomb ejections could reach an area of 3 kilometers from the crater. So the public is warned of that.
That's it for today. Check our main sources, volcanodiscovery.com and the Smithsonian Global Volcanism Project.
So now it's time for the focus. So
let's get to it.
So Nyiragongo. With this recent eruption, it brings up, for me at least, some internal conflicts that I have. And Alessandro, I'm sure you have these too. It's really easy to love volcanoes when they're like Etna and Kilauea and Fagradalsfjall, when they're relatively far away from people and infrastructure. But when eruptions like what's been happening in Nyiragongo happen, I'm heartbroken. So this week, for the focus, we're going to have a little bit more of a somber note out of respect for the lives lost and the lives upended. So Nyiragongo is a stratovolcano in the Democratic Republic of Congo, or the DRC for short. It's about 15 kilometers north of the city of Goma, and it's relatively close to the border with Rwanda. The current eruptive period started in 2002. Nyiragongo is a popular volcano with tourists, and it's titled as one of the most dangerous volcanoes in the world, which, yeah, it pretty much is. But it also has some amazing views, as it has a deep crater with a lava lake inside. And lava lakes are common for this volcano, and this lava lake was catastrophically emptied both in 1977 and in 2002, causing widespread destruction and many fatalities. Lava flows from this volcano have in the past reached the city of Goma. Now, as I just said, the city of Goma is about 15 kilometers away, and this is above average for a lava flow. An average lava flow is actually less than 10 kilometers. So part of why this is because these lava flows are really fluid, and this is where the chemistry comes into play. Chemically, this volcano produces phoidic lava flows.
Geologists have lots of different words for rocks, and volcanologists separate volcanic rocks based on the silica content. Pure silica is coarse, and generally rocks with a higher silica content are more viscous and lighter in color, and rocks with less silica content are less viscous, so runnier, and darker in color. These rocks are called mafic, and basalt is a classic mafic rock. Nyiragongo makes a type of rock called phoidite, so it's mafic and has even less silica than a basaltic lava.
Exactly. So as these lavas have such a lower silica content, they flow a lot faster and further than we typically see at other volcanoes. Nyiragongo is in a well-known tectonic setting called the East African Rift Zone, where the African plate is actually splitting into two plates called the Somali and the Nubian plate. And these two plates are moving away from each other at a speed between about 6 to 7 millimeters per year. And this zone has a lot of volcanic activity with over 100 volcanoes in the region. Nyiragongo actually overlaps two older volcanoes called Shaharu and Baratu. From the Nyiragongo crater in the direction of the Shaharu volcano, there are over 100 parasitic little cones, and these are actually mostly buried from the lava flows of 1977. As I mentioned earlier, there was also a lava flow in 2002, and this lava flow actually drained the lava lake, and the lava flows from this eruption reached the city of Goma.
The current eruptive period started in 2002, but the most recent activity started only a few days ago on May 22nd, last Saturday. So, previously, there hadn't been any significant eruption past the presence of the lava lake in several years.
So, let's break down what's happened. On May 22nd, there was a huge ash plume which reached up to 13.7 kilometers, coupled with a flank eruption. A fissure on the eastern side of the volcano opened up, producing large and fast lava flows. Later in the evening, there were reports that these lava flows were threatening inhabited areas. And on Monday, it was reported from VolcanoDiscovery.com that as of now, the eruption has stopped at the village of Buhini on the outskirts of Gomis City. As of Sunday night, there were 15 fatalities reported and over 150 children missing. It's unsure at the moment if the fissure opened and started draining the lava lake, or if the lava is from a different source. History would indicate that it's a draining of the lava lake, but that might not fit quite well with the volume erupted and the volume of the current lava lake. So what's happening in the public? So over 5,000 Congolese people traveled over the border into Rwanda, but at this point most have now returned now that the eruption seems to have stopped. In addition to the loss of life, there is also destruction to water systems and infrastructure, and many residents will have to end up relying on government and humanitarian aid. So part of why I find this eruption to be particularly heartbreaking is that even though Mount Nyiragongo is one of the world's most active volcanoes, it's reported from the BBC, there were concerns that it was not properly observed by the Goma Volcano Observatory since the World Bank cut funding several months ago amid allegations of corruption. We'll link an article in the show notes. So this is, I don't know, to me it's pretty sad. Eruptions like this are also a reminder that there's still so much work to do. Life is messy and unpredictable, and global monitoring, it's not perfect. There's still lots to do in the realms of volcanology. We still don't fully understand these systems and nature's cues, and not everywhere is properly equipped to pick up on these subtle cues. There's still a lot of work for us as a scientific and a global community to do.
And that's it for today. We hope that next week we have a more joyful focus for you guys.
Yeah, we send our thoughts out to the people of the DRC who are grieving and struggling with the after effects of this disaster.
And so thank you for listening, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
Have a good week. Bye.